Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast with Shah Shahid. I'm obviously your host, Shah Shahid himself. And this is the podcast where we usually compare film remakes with their source material. But this episode is our regular monthly roundup of Bollywood news from the previous month, as well as looking forward at trailers for the movies releasing in June of 2018. Joining me once again is Alisa Rivera, otherwise known as Bollywood Newbie. How's it going, Alisa?
It's going good. I love the way you say my name, so thank you for that.
I try. You have
to. Sounds awesome.
welcome back. Welcome back. You were your first. Your first podcast was, I think, four podcasts ago. I think a couple of weeks ago. How was that experience for you overall? Did you notice? Did you become a celebrity overnight after that? Or what?
Oh yes, it's been awful. And
do you like how highly you think about my show?
Well, I did get more follows on my Twitter, so that's always nice. And okay. It's just been fun, you know, people talking to me about the movies, and I don't get anybody, as we talked about before, in my real life, willing to discuss these things with me. So this is my chance to do that.
I do like that you outed yourself. Even before I had a chance to out yourself with your name on Twitter, before you were just Bollywood Newbie, now you changed it. You put up your first name, I think, days after we recorded. And I'm like, oh.
Well, I mean, it was because people kept referring to me as Bollywood Newbie. And I'm like, I mean, it's yes, but I like my name. So I'm just going to use my name. It's not shameful. I don't have like a secret hobby I don't want anybody else to know about.
Your whole thing is, you know, that you're discovering Bollywood movies as you go on Twitter. You're kind of documenting your experiences. So I thought there's something really tangible about that, because we talked about that when you were on the show last. And then what happened was, I know friend of the show, Samarpita Datta, @LipstickPatrol on Twitter. It was funny because on the show, you and I discussed watching Piku, because we talked about a lot of the movies with that director and the writer and things like that. So I remember you were tweeting out your reactions to Piku after you had seen it. And Lipstick Patrol, and Sam got back to me, and she's like, oh my god, isn't this the cutest thing ever? Like, she's discovering this movie for the first time. It's so nice to see someone brand new kind of coming into this, you know, really nice movie. And I was just like, and the podcast hadn't been uploaded yet, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, Sam, just wait. You'll see, like, the genesis of this idea happen on the show. And so I thought that was really interesting. So that's kind of like this tangible thing where you get to see, like, I personally got to see it, where I'm telling you about something, you watched it, and then you're sharing your experience. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so nice. That's cool.
Yeah. It is really cool, and I love it. And it was great, like, when you... It was after I had been on the show and you spoke with Melanie from Pardesi channel. And, you know, she's somebody I interact with a lot on Twitter. So it was fun to hear you do your version, you know, do your thing with her. And then she's like... In fact, she's tweeting me even as we speak. So it's kind of, you know, it all comes around.
It's a nice
community. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really fun. But thank you for making the time to come again. You have now been inducted into my very small stable of guests who I invite on with super short notice, who I assume have nothing better to do but heed my call. But I am really appreciative that you kind of took the time to show up, you know, very last minute. I think I gave you, what, 12 hours notice, 10 hours notice? And I'm like...
Yeah. It's all good, though. Like I said, this is like... You know, dessert for me. I get to do this. This is actually, as I was saying, I get to do a podcast without doing any of the actual work.
That's
which,
fine.
By the way, if you're listening to this, Shah puts a lot of work into these things. So just want to put that out there.
No, what do you mean? This is all natural. I'm this charming, you know, off book. Now, getting back to our regularly scheduled programming. There is a lot to cover. So, I mean, I didn't initially think this month was that busy. Usually with Hollywood, as the summer gets closer, you have insane movie releases happening. You know, there's blockbusters coming out every other weekend, and it's a busy time. But Bollywood, for whatever reason, seems like less so, but I mean, there's still some pretty big movies coming out. Before we get to the trailers for the movies releasing in June 2018, Alisa and I are going to talk about the news from the past month, starting with, I mean, I guess I have to talk about this because this dominated the news cycle for like 3 weeks, and I can't really get away from it, and I ended up sort of taking some guilty pleasure from it as well. But obviously I'm talking about Sonam Kapoor's Wedding, which flooded our screens and lives for days on end. May 2018, obviously, the Bollywood actress, daughter of Anil Kapoor, got married to, I'm assuming he's a businessman, I don't keep up with this, Anand Ahuja. Alisa, did you follow Did you follow all of that?
Well, I couldn't have followed all of it, but I did follow it, and
Right.
it was really fun. Well, because it was insane how much news was coming out about it over every little detail. Because the thing is, like, so for me, again, I'm a newbie, and I'm also new to Daisy culture, not 100% new. Like, I used to work at UCLA Med School, and one of the students there had a wedding, and there was only one hotel room in Los Angeles that had a ballroom big enough to hold the wedding, and she had to wait for the hotel to be built. It was literally under construction, and she
Whoa.
booked the ballroom for the 1,100 guests that she had for her wedding.
Jeez.
So that's like, that was my introduction to Daisy Wedding. So it's like, wow, you guys, it's amazing, the scale
And what
and
did
the
this
number
person
of
do? She was just
days.
like a retail person, salesperson or something?
She was, yeah, I know. I mean,
Now
she
imagine
was,
celebrities doing
yeah,
it.
I know. She's a med student, and I guess, I don't know. So she knew she had 1,100 people at her wedding. And then, like, she married somebody who wasn't Daisy, but he, like, rode in on a white horse, and it was this whole thing. So I got to hear all the details of this wedding. So that was my first introduction many years ago. So seeing this Sonam's wedding was like, oh yeah, that's right. This stuff is big. You guys do it over 4 days, and there's like multiple parties, and like everybody in the world is invited. And one of the things I was really struck, first of all, I'm such a newbie. I did not know Anil was Sonam's father. That was really embarrassing. So that was the first thing I discovered.
Oh, that's fine. That happens to me every day in Hollywood. I think I was talking about that with someone recently, and the nepotism thing is so funny because I have that happen to me with Hollywood almost on a daily basis where I'm like, this is whose dad? Oh, she's his kid? Like, I know people independently, and then someone tells me that they're related, and I'm like, I had no flipping idea. I forget who, it literally just happened 2 days ago with me with someone, and I'm like, oh, yes, Denzel Washington's kid. Something David Washington, he's on Ballers. I've seen him on Ballers for like two, three seasons now. I like the guy, I know who he is as an actor. And more recently, he's doing this movie with Spike Lee, The Black Klansman. And I'm like, oh, cool, that guy from TV is making a movie now. Awesome. And someone was like, the son of Denzel Washington. I'm like, wait, what? Hold up. And so, yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't feel bad. I don't think it's an exclusive thing. And I've been watching Hollywood movies for how many years now?
Yeah, but it's
So.
different because, like, in Bollywood, people are very open about all the family relationships, and you have these dynasties. And
True.
also, but in my defense, there's a billion Kapoors, right? And some of them are related, and some of them aren't.
No,
And
that's
so I
fair.
can't keep track of all the Kapoors. But anyway, so I found that Anil was her father, so that was fun. And it was just a very warm. I was really actually struck by how open they were about sharing this family event, and the reaction
Yes.
of people on Twitter were that they were part of that family. It wasn't like they were just watching a bunch of stars, it's watching people that they felt very warmly about.
I mean, and
And
that was my takeaway
yeah.
too, because I mean, again, I got caught up in it. I didn't. I mean, not as extreme as, let's say, people that follow this thing like Samar Patodatta and a lot of others on our
Right.
Twitter sort of social circle. But it was the thing I took away from that was it was kind of like, I always I'm very cynical about Bollywood off screen. I find the whole thing, what they do, their sort of in interviews and PR to be very sort of fake, and none of it's really at all like natural. Everything's like a stunt. Everything's sort of like a game. They go to the airport and there's pictures, and I mean, I've complained about this countless times, but to me, this was kind of weird because it was like they've full. I mean, not obviously they haven't allowed press, but they've allowed themselves to present this private moment in their lives from the inside to the public through social media. And that to me was really cool because I'm like, oh wow, you're seeing all these people interact with each other that you normally would never get to see. Or if you did, it was like guarded moments and planned, fake interviews such or situations with, pre-planned questions and nonsense. But this is like, I mean, they got drunk, they were partying, there's all these shots of the drunken after parties. And I'm like, this is terrible, but like, I can't stop watching it. It's like a train wreck. It's like TMZ. I feel like I was consuming the hours of TMZ like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But it was very, but unlike TMZ, well, there was a scandal, which I'll get into in a minute, but the, because it amused me so much. But like seeing Salman and Shah Rukh singing together
Right.
drunkenly with their shirts open, and Anil, wow. And it's because I don't really like Anil's earlier movies. I don't like his 90s stuff very
Okay.
much, but older Anil, first of all, Sober Fox. Totally handsome, good-looking guy, you know. And then he apparently knows how to have a good time. You know, he
Clearly,
was
yeah.
playing the drum and singing, and it was really cool. And then they all started dancing, but they weren't doing the slick dancing that they do in the
Right.
movies. They were doing the same kind of wedding dancing that anybody
Yeah,
does.
the common folk
You
like us,
know,
yeah.
right. Yeah, because of course they haven't choreographed
But
it or anything
isn't
for the
that
movie.
ironic though? Because when I go to brown weddings, I'm not going to say myself, I mean a little bit myself, but we're trying to drunken dance and replicate the moves that we see them do in movies. So it's kind of funny because like, then now you're seeing them do the same thing at their wedding and you're like, oh, why aren't they dancing like me? Fair plays, come on, what is this?
Right, exactly. But it's like, hey, guess what? When you don't have, film cuts and you don't have the choreographer on set, and then you
Right.
don't look as good,
Yes.
it turns out, even when you do it for a living.
But that makes them kind of more accessible and human at this point,
Totally.
right? And
It
I
was
mean,
very
I
endearing.
felt closer to Bollywood as an industry from this event than any sort of Coffee with Karan nonsense, any sort of PR stunt, publication interviews. Like this to me was like, why can't you be like this always? Like, why does everything have to be the facade? You know? Yeah, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway from all this.
Well, the scandal, which is so funny, and I don't know if you know what I'm about to say, but Rishi went to the wedding with his
Okay.
wife and didn't feel he got a
Oh,
proper
something. Yeah.
greeting,
Right.
So
Oh,
he
Rishi
bitched
Kapoor
out
for people that
somebody's
don't keep up with
yeah. Are
Twitter
you sorry?
nuts.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Rishi Kapoor, who's this old, I guess you could say, iconic actor who I really don't like, and so as just as in general, and
Feel like
he
this came up last show
I
too.
did. It totally did. I felt so affirmed in my dislike for him because he shows up at the wedding. He bitches out somebody's wife. I forgot whose wife it
Arbaz,
was.
no, Arbaz Khan's wife? I heard something about this, but I don't.
I don't remember who it was, but
Yeah.
somebody at the wedding, because he didn't get a proper greeting, and then he stormed out or something. And then the poor woman was, I guess she's Salman's sister-in-law, so
Yeah,
she went.
I think it was Salman's brother's wife that he was rude to. So
And then so
then.
she to Salman, and Salman's reaction was like, "What?" And then he went looking
Ugh.
for him, but Rishi had already left the party. I was so disappointed because
I think that's the
I
only thing missing from like a brown wedding, like a fight breaking out.
was beat down. Hey, there would have been a beat down, but then considering Salman's record, it probably is for the best that Rishi had left. And then poor Rishi's wife, which was the other person, I didn't know she was married to him, and I can't remember Rishi's wife's name, but she's an actress. They were in
I
a bunch
wanna
of movies
say, yeah, I wanna
together.
say Neetu something? Neetu Singh? I
Me
wanna say
too.
Neetu Singh. I'm
That's
not
who.
100% sure.
No, I think that's
I
who it is.
apologize to all my friends who are probably swearing at me, who know this information more than I do.
But I
This is
know
not
I've
my wheelhouse, folks.
seen them. So I've seen them in movies together, but I didn't realize that they were actually married. So poor Neetu had to be the one to
Yeah,
apologize
Neetu
and
Singh.
leave. Because the
I got
women
it right.
are always the ones who have to clean shit up after
But
marriage.
yeah, I mean,
It's such a wedding thing to
he's such a
happen to.
weird
That's
guy.
so funny. It was so funny. Anyway,
He's
so that
such a
happened.
weird guy. I mean, I don't even. I can't. I've never been like quote unquote fan of Rishi Kapoor's. I've liked him just fine in his movies. Even in his older sort of career, I loved him in Agnipath. I thought that was like a ballsy role, but his craziness on Twitter, I can't keep up with. I do have to say, what so my other takeaway from this Sonam Kapoor wedding thing is, did you see the paparazzi videos with the paparazzi voicers?
No, I didn't. I
So,
missed that. That's too
there's a
bad.
couple of videos out there. I'll try to find them, but I'll try to put them in the show notes. But it's videos from across the street of people entering the wedding and from even inside the event, the photographers lined up, and it's videos where you can hear the paparazzi talking. And the best part about it is you get like this 30-second, 25-second glimpse into the lives of these people. And it was some of the funniest things. There's some people that are just cussing them out, cussing out anyone that walks in front of their shot. They're like, they're saying, respectfully, sister. They're calling, like, Rani Mukherjee came on at one point, and they're like, Didi, look here, look here, look here. And she's such a sweetheart. She stood there, she looked at everyone, and then afterwards, she's like, are we done? Can I go now? And they're like, yes, thank you. Like, it was so sweet. And there's one shot of these two guys outside. I guess they're barricaded across the street, so they had to take pictures of everyone as they're coming in across the street from them. And this one guy just starts hurling insults at anyone else. One guy apparently told the stars that, "Yeah, we're good, you can go." And the other guy started swearing at him that, "Who said we're done?" And oh my God, like, I've never laughed that hard. And this made me realize that we need, the television companies in India need to get together. We need an Indian paparazzi reality show where we follow these guys around, and I need to hear from them who's a dick and who's not. Then I will full out get into gossip if we see a reality show like this.
The thing is, it's not any different in Hollywood. The
I
paparazzi
know, yeah, I
behave
know there's
exactly the
some,
same
yeah.
way. Because I live in LA, so I've actually seen paparazzi, so it's the same
Yeah,
crap,
no, I
you
know.
know? And
I
they need
never
to get
expected it from that Indian mentality in India. So hearing it for the first time, because again, they're always so polished. Like I said, the Bollywood, everything is always so polished. To see this behind the scenes from people that are kind of part of the industry but kind of outsiders, and for their take, it was really funny. And I think we need this show. Like, I'll produce this show. Someone send me to India. But moving on to another wedding. Now, this was kind of weird. I don't know if you've heard of this other wedding. The actors and actresses are kind of like B-list, really. I don't know if you would hear of them most, but I'm talking about Neha Dupia's wedding, who got married very surprised, very hush-hush, in the middle of Sonam Kapoor's wedding sort of scenario. I think May 11th, May 10th is when she got married, to another Bollywood actor, Angad Bedi, whose biggest thing would have been more recently Inside Edge, which was the Indian web series on Amazon Prime. He's really good in that. But they got married. They've been going out for a long time. They got married very on the sly, very, hush-hush. Did you hear anything about this? Do you even know who these people are, Alisa?
I have no idea who they are, and I did not see anything on Twitter about it.
Perfect. Moving on.
So there you go. But I did go and look at the photos because I knew we would be talking about it. And I hate to be mean, but it was seemed like they were very influenced by Anushka's wedding. And I did say that.
Sure,
Sorry, I know
sure.
that's really mean.
Hey, that's fine. You bring the gossip, I'll talk about everything else. This is fine.
Isn't he a cricket player too, the husband? Or
I don't know what his history is. I mean, again, like, the show that he did recently
he
was a
is.
cricket show. I don't know. Again, he's one of those guys. He was in Pink as well. He played one of the sexual abusers in Pink. So I mean, he's a good actor, but again, very sort of B-list actor. Even Neha Dupia, she's known more for speaking her mind. She's one of the actresses who just kind of very boldface. She says it how it is. She doesn't hold anything back. So it was. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool that they did this without the hoopla. My sort of, again, put on my cynic hat. I thought it was very timely that Sonam Kapoor's wedding coincided with literally the month before the release of her movie, which was also in a wedding theme. I mean, I don't want to say it was, a planned thing, but the thing is, from my perspective as a normal human being, if I had a major work thing coming up, I probably don't plan my wedding a month before that.
You
Right?
know, it's no, but I think you're right. And but it's interesting because I do in my when I'm not watching movies, I do communications work, and it's not PR, but it's PR adjacent. It's about like how do you move a message in the media and how do you craft a narrative.
Okay.
And
Oh,
people,
hello.
oh, I know. And I've
Tell
been
me
thinking,
more.
I know. Well, I've been thinking about this a lot because of the royal wedding,
Right.
the
Oh my God,
British royal
weddings
wedding.
everywhere.
Which was a big melodrama. I don't know if you follow that. I did follow that. It was a big melodrama. So people make the best PR is PR that's based in a true thing, because it's much easier to move a narrative that's sincere than to move a narrative that's total
Fair
bullshit.
enough,
So
fair
if
enough.
you're like in the business and you are truly in love and you truly do want to get married, but your wedding themed movie is coming out, you're going to be like, hey, why not? Like, this is not that it's not real. It's just that it's going to help our career, and it's a nice tie into the between the two sides of my life. And
Yeah,
people
fair enough.
absolutely,
It
when you're in,
worked.
you don't do that. Well, exactly. And when you don't do that work, it seems really cynical and crass, and sometimes it is.
Yeah.
But that's how people think when they're in the public
No,
eye.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, it's just again, like I said, I can't relate to their lives, obviously. These people's their work is to travel the world, put on outfits by other people, get styled by other people, and appear at their best 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That I can't relate to that because I come home and I unwind and I look like crap and I just sit on my ass and do nothing for like hours on end sometimes. So I can't relate to that. But just with that in mind, I would think that, you know, something like a wedding, I wouldn't want it to be any percentage work. Like in the back of my mind, I don't want to be thinking about having anything to do with work. But I mean, yeah, I get, you're right. I mean, it does move the message more. I always, while I was listening to all this Sonam Ki Shaadi nonsense, my takeaway was also for the producers of Veeray Di Wedding, because I'm like, oh my God, like free marketing. Like, how much money did
Oh
these guys
yeah, they
save?
must be. Plus, she went to Cannes right after the wedding. I don't
Right,
know if you
right.
know
Yeah.
that. Did you see what she wore at Cannes?
No.
First of all, she still had her
Elisa,
wedding.
you know better. No, I didn't.
Okay, well, sorry. I follow this stuff. My sister's game. I read about celebrity fashion and the red carpet. So she, but it's actually from a marketing perspective really interesting because all of her looks at Cannes were look bridal. She actually wore a Vera Wang wedding dress for one of her red carpet appearances, and she still had her mendi, her wedding mendi on, of
Oh
course,
yes,
on
I did
it.
hear something about that. Yeah, that how that was that won the accessories thing at Cannes. Okay.
Well, and she went, and I mean, when I first saw her, she was wearing, it was an Indian style gown, like a call out to, I don't know all the names of the different clothing, but it was a call out, but it was in white lace.
Okay.
So it's a very overt
That's
bridal
interesting. I
reference.
mean, yeah,
So
I
she's
guess that's fine.
clearly playing it. I mean, she was clearly like going in there, going, "Yes, I just got married. Here's my mendi. I'm wearing a wedding dress. Come see my movie," because she was there to promote the movie.
Fair
So
enough.
yeah, I mean
It's
that's how they
also, I mean, I also
did it.
noticed too, this is also like, again, like speaking to what you were saying about the fact that it is easier to move a narrative that is true than not. I also liked, again, speaking of Veeray Di Wedding, again, now we're promoting the movie. I did like Kareena Kapoor Khan when she got pregnant and she had her baby. Usually, in Bollywood, most actors, when they get pregnant, they kind of disappear from the limelight, you know, because they don't want anyone to see them at their worst, quote unquote, you know, not fully decked out. But Kareena Kapoor fully kind of subverted that and said, and she did photo shoots, you know, pregnant, fully pregnant, 8, 7 months pregnant. She did photo shoots. She appeared in fashionable, you know, clothing while pregnant, which started this whole other fashion trend of like, you know, how to be fashionable during pregnancy and maternity clothes and blah, 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 blah. And I remember too, when their kid was born, most actors, most celebrities' usual reaction is to hide the pictures, you know, no pictures of a newborn baby, blah, 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 which causes the paparazzi culture to get bolder and bolder to try to get that. You know, it becomes more pricey, right? That picture becomes more expensive to sell,
Right.
it's causing them to do stupid things. And I remember when the kid was born, I think the first picture came out was on social media from them, from Kareena Kapoor and then Saif Ali Khan, of the kid in the hospital bed. And then I think like a day or the same day, Saif came out with the baby in his arms to the balcony, waved at the paparazzi. And I thought that was really cool because like you kind of get ahead of it, right? Like you give them what they want, you
That's
demystify the
right.
whole thing. And I like that. I guess it's this new generation of Bollywood stars who are kind of understanding that we can't get away from the spotlight. You might as well embrace it and control the narrative instead of being kind of, you know, being slaves to it and trying to escape it.
Well, they have more control because of social media
Right.
too,
Exactly.
it's so they don't have to rely on the studio, they're not relying on the mainstream media. That's a theme throughout everything right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, no,
Okay.
totally.
All right, so I think we're good with weddings. Do you want to spend 20 minutes on the royal wedding? That is an actress as well. We could easily do that. It would
I
be on
totally,
brand.
dude, I could totally do that, but I'll spare you. But
Yeah,
it
no, we're
was
not doing that. All 7 people that listen to the show just tuned off.
Yes. No. No more. No royal wedding.
All right, so let's get to some Bollywood news that involves actual Bollywood movies and things happening in the movie industry. Rajkumar Rao, our favorite, has a movie coming out with Kangana Ranaut called Mental Hekya. The movie's directed by a newcomer, Prakash Kovalamudi. And the latest news that broke is that there's a new sort of new actress has been added to the cast, Amaira Dastoor, who's a model, and she's supposedly playing Rajkumar Rao's love interest in the movie. Now, the only thing we've gotten from Mental Hekya is these sort of weird, quirky posters with the Rajkumar Rao flipping people off. There's tape all around them. Some weird, strange, sort of quirky behavior. Lisa, you got to see some of these first look posters. You got to, I mean, we don't really know much about the movie, but you saw Amaira Dastoor. What do you think of her addition to this cast?
I don't know anything about her, so I can't. I just think, sorry,
She's
I don't
pretty.
think she's pretty. Well, but if she's Raj Kumar's love interest, that means Kangana isn't, which is very interesting. I mean, that's like not what you would expect.
I mean, it looks like an interesting movie. I mean, are you a fan of Kangana, by the way? I mean, do you know
I
who she is? Have you
am.
seen?
Oh, God, yeah. She's fantastic. And she is. And the other thing I'm really impressed with her on taking this movie on is that she's considered to be mental. And I don't know what's going on with her.
And that was the thing. It felt very meta, right? Like, because everyone's
yes,
like, oh, what a B,
meta.
What a crazy B, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah,
and she comes out with this movie where it's called Mental Hick Out, which is kind of like the drug. I mean, it's loosely translated. I guess it's more like, you know, is she crazy or are they crazy?
Are you mental?
Are you mental? Right. So it kind of seems like she's leaning into this whole. You know, I don't know if you saw that All India, that AIB video she did, where she does like an item song. Yes! So,
vagina, that one.
Yes.
My husband now refers to her as the vagina girl.
Yes! So I've talked about this before, but I have a lot of respect for actresses who don't give a shit about what people think about them. I became smitten with Aaliyah. I don't know if you've went that far back, but Aaliyah also did a video with the same guy as AIB. She had a sort of public media snafu when she was on Coffee with Karan. She was on a lightning speed round, and she got the name of India's president or prime minister wrong. So everyone kind of destroyed her in the media about how the fact that, oh, wow, she's such a ditz. This is fresh off her first movie, Student of the Year. So you don't really know anything about Aaliyah, except that she's this pretty girl who did this movie where she played a pretty girl. And everyone destroyed her in the media. It's like, wow, what an idiot. So her response to that was by doing this video with the same guys that did the vagina video with Kangana. And the video was about how she's stupid. And she has to work out her mind, so she joins a mind gym. It was so cool because it followed like the whole sort of sports movie montage of where she's trying to do it, she can't do it, she fails, she gets a motivational speech, and there's a montage of her training and becoming awesome and smart, and then she goes back on Coffee with Karan, and it was like populated by all these cameos by Arjun Kapoor, Praniti Chopra, and that to me gave me so much respect for Aaliyah, because I'm like, oh my god, like, this girl just came into the industry, she's completely making fun of herself, she's making a fool of herself in this video, I'm into that, like, that's awesome, like, you have to be so secure in who you are to do something like that. And same with Kangana.
Yeah.
Like, I was on the fence with her. I'm like, she's a good actress, but oh my god, shut your mouth. Oh my god, shut up and let's move on from all these scandals. She did that video, and I'm like, I'm in. I'm a fan. Let's do this. Let's go.
I love her. I think she's problematic, but I like her problematicness. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. I find her super interesting as a person. I mean, she came from literally nowhere. You know, from some little town, and she was not encouraged by her family. Even today, I read an article about her that was kind of sad. They went back and interviewed people in the village she's from, and they're not proud of her.
Oh,
they're embarrassed by her. They just, like, they don't, they're like, oh yeah, movie star. We don't really think much of movie stars. Like, they really do not embrace her, even to this day. And even though she's like gone back and built buildings there and such, but they don't like her. And so she.
The buildings are fine. It's her we have a problem with.
Yeah, exactly. So she's somebody who it takes a tremendous strength of will to be a woman and to go up against that and then leave home, go by yourself, build this enormous career. She's crazy talented. I'm crazy, I know, sorry. She's extremely talented. The crazy part...
Pun not intended.
Yeah, well, when you look at the difference between Tanu Weds Manu and then her queen, those performances, and the fact that one person could have that range and make both those characters credible.
There's definitely something there, and I find it, like, I get very upset when someone's off-screen sort of behavior overtakes their work. I mean, and obviously not you know, not contextualizing it with like the Harvey Weinstein thing. That obviously, yes, has an impact. But I'm talking about more like stupid things like this, where it's like, I don't care how she is off screen. Like, she might totally be a psycho person. I don't care. You know, and that shouldn't be how we judge her as an actress. Like, there's people that are crazier. There's people that have done, you know, so much more morally questionable things that we give a free pass to. Race 3 movie trailer coming up at the end of the show. But with her, it's kind of like, so what? She did this thing, she had this scandal. Who cares? Like, I mean, I haven't seen Simran. I want to watch Simran. I think Simran looks super interesting. But it's weird that I hate it when someone gets blacklisted, like she seems to have been in the industry. I don't like that. To me, that's sort of like bullying almost, especially when you talk about, when we just spent all this time talking about how Bollywood is such a close-knit community with the Sonam wedding thing, when some person decides to kind of go against the grain, for them to not be supported or at least given kudos, but instead being blacklisted for not falling in line with the same collective mentality as the hive mind, to me is really upsetting. I hope Mental Hit Cat does good. I mean, again, it's a new director. Rajkumar Rao, you can't really say Rajkumar Rao picks bad movies, so there has to be something in this movie that brought him on board. So,
well, also, he was willing to work with her again.
Right.
You know, and I think that says a lot. And right. The fact, and Maddie, I can't pronounce his real name, but you know.
Madhavan. Yes.
Worked with her twice.
Yeah, and those are all super nice guys.
Like, and
those
aren't good
like
actors.
Stars or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, the fact that it wasn't like she scorched earth to the point where they're like, we're never working with her again. Right. She's nuts, you know, whatever. Yeah. No, I really hope that this doesn't end up. I hope that she has a long career, because I think based on talent alone, she deserves it, and definitely. She's very, very good.
I could definitely see her. I mean, I would definitely say she needs to become a bit more smarter in terms of public relations. I think there's someone, you know, in Los
Kissing
Angeles who might be able to help.
I'm gonna call me. I'll set it straight for you. I'll do PR anyway.
All right. So moving on from two people we really like to one person who's weird and two other newbies we don't really care about. Student of the Year 2 motion posters are out. Yay! Alisa, how much do you not care about these motion posters?
The motion posters were really cheesy. Sorry. I mean, it's a GIF. I don't want to be like. I make those for a living, sort of. I actually do make those at work.
I love how you're so conflicted. I'm like, should I knock the people making these or criticize the quality of them itself?
It could have been better. No, I mean, so here's the thing. I've never seen Student of the Year, the first one. I went and looked at the trailer just so I would have a better idea of what this is about. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I didn't, based on the trailer, it didn't appeal to me at all. But I have a bias against Karan Johar's movies. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Karan Johar. Yeah, it's a hard H.
Karan Johar. Okay.
Yeah.
Karan Johar.
Yeah, you got to pronounce the H. Yeah, it's weird. I know.
But anyway, I'm not really a big fan of his films, and he's got a certain style that really came through in the trailer that automatically put me off of like even wanting to see the second one.
Yeah,
so that
fair enough.
He's not expecting the second one, so
no, and maybe, and usually with Bollywood sequels, there's never any sort of connective story thread from the first to the second.
Right.
Like these just seem like more of like, hey, that thing you liked, we're doing it again with two in it. But yeah, I mean, Tiger Shroff's in this. I like the guy. I like the guy. I've liked one of his movies so far, and apparently that was a Flying Judd. And apparently that was the only movie he's ever done that's been counterintuitive to anything else is an entire filmography. This looks more in line of like more of the same, so I don't really care. This also has a very Dawson's Creek vibe to it. Like isn't he 30? Like, and
well,
I don't mean
we've touched on that though.
Yeah.
About this bad habit of Bollywood to cast men in parts that they're 20 years too old for.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of, I don't know if you've seen 21 Jump Street, the new one with Channing Tatum. It reminds me of the scene where it's Rob Riggle and Channing Tatum, and Channing Tatum is looking at Rob Riggle's looking at Channing Tatum, and he's supposed to be in high school, and he's like, you have exceptional muscle tone. And that's what this reminds me of. I'm like, he's not 18. Like, there's no way he's 18.
He's obviously not 18, yes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, essentially, the motion poster... What's also really lazy about the motion posters is that these images of them standing in front of this sort of chalkboard backdrop, weren't these images released, like, months ago? Like, with just, like... It was just a still image with the actress name introducing, you know, Tara and Anyana or whatever the other one's name is. So you've had these images and... possibly these gifts from a couple of weeks ago, like, it just seems like unnecessary milking of, you know, content that you don't need to milk this hard.
Yeah, it just felt very stale and unoriginal. And you know what it reminded me of is in Harry Potter, you have the moving newspaper. You know what I'm talking about?
That's yeah.
It came across that way. And at this point, you need to do more than that. If you're going to do something stunty, it's got to be a better stunt.
Yeah, like, can we see these girls talk? Like, can we see them do something other than just stand there and go, look how pretty I am? Because I think that is really what we need at this point, right? Like, I would be more impressed. Like, Tiger Shroff, we've seen him flex and kick and ballet spin hundreds of times. I don't need to see that anymore. Like, if you want to focus on these two new girls who are the debutants of this movie, let's focus on them, right? Let me show me who these girls are, what they can do, and maybe I'll sort of give a crap about your movie.
Yep.
Speaking of giving a crap about someone's movies, we've got Arjun Kapoor's next movie that's been announced. His next movie is called India's Most Wanted. The movie is being directed by Rajkumar Gupta, who recently did Raid with Ajay Devgan, as well as No One Killed Jessica with Vidya Balan and Rani Mukherjee way back when. The movie is supposedly about India's Most Wanted, which makes it sound like it's a criminal at play, someone gets apprehended, something like that. But Arjun Kapoor, in his announcement post on social media, did mention that the fact that the story is about the giving the unsung heroes their due, and how the India's Most Wanted criminal was captured without firing a single shot. So sort of the clues of what the hell this movie is about is all over the place. Is it a spy thriller? Is it a criminal true crime thing? Is it based on a true story? I haven't been able to find anything on this movie itself. Alisa, are you up to date with Arjun Kapoor and his shenanigans?
Not at all. And as I said earlier, there are so many Kapoors in Bollywood, and this is like one of those loose Kapoors I haven't gotten any information.
I love that. One of those loose Kapoors. I love it. This is what I'm using for anyone that I don't care about. One of those Kapoors I don't give a crap about.
Okay, yeah, I don't know anything about it. But I mean, actually,
yeah.
Oh, the fact that the director did the Jessica Lal movie makes me more excited about this.
Yes. Oh, so you know about the Jessica Lal thing?
I do, cool. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, and apparently even Raid, the recent Ajay Devgan movie, apparently that was well-received as well. It did decent for you know, the scale of movie it was. It was appreciated critically as well. So, I mean, I trust the filmmaker. Arjun Kapoor is one of those guys who seems to just be phoning it in the industry. He also happens to be Sonam Kapoor's half-cousin? Like, step-cousin, I want to say? He is Anil Kapoor's older brother's son from a different marriage.
I remember now. There was a scandal. That's all I know about him. Because he escorted, God, he's bringing it around to Sonam's wedding again. He escorted his sisters to the wedding.
Yeah, and his stepsisters. And it was
his stepsisters. No, they're his half-sisters.
Yes,
and it was considered a really big deal.
Because,
like,
because
family.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway. It was a whole thing because, I mean.
Yes, I know that.
And Sam and I, Samar Padat and I recently did this on WhatsApp where we spent like 3 hours going down this rabbit hole of Bollywood families, and it was literally just like, okay, I need to sleep. Like, this is enough. But you're absolutely right. So he is essentially his father married Sridevi after his mom.
Right,
Kushi are basically his half-sisters. So Arjun Kapoor, if you don't know Arjun Kapoor, his first movie was with Parineeti Chopra, him and her debut together. So the success story of Arjun Kapoor is that he was a massively overweight kid in his youth, and he worked super hard, slimmed super down, and essentially, you know, became a ripped muscle man Bollywood hero for his first movie. Since then, he's done some movies like, I would watch Two States, by Arjun Kapoor, if you're looking for a crash course in this loose Kapoor. And it was really good. He also did Gunde with Ranveer Singh, if you want to, and Deepika?
Oh.
Sorry. Priyanka. Sorry. I got my two Bollywood ladies mixed up there. So they did Gunde together. They're also good friends, blah, blah, blah. Arjun Kapoor had a very impressive debut. Since then, I haven't been impressed with anything he's done, to be completely honest. He seems to be a guy that's just kind of like in the industry now. He's just kind of there. He's doing movies, and he's kind of like, he's also, and again, I've spoken about this online, and it feels weird to say, but he's also like one of those guys who are just fit enough to look fit on the outside, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of, I don't want to be superficial, but very pudgy, and it's kind of like, are you not trying anymore? Like, what is happening here? Which to me again, and I don't care about the body. I could give a shit. But it to me just kind of conveys that whole laziness thing that I find a problem with him.
Well, I wonder if the Star Kids. I'm sure this must be true that some of them are like the kids whose parents pressure them to become a doctor, right? And they're not really into it, but they've got family pressure. But they'd much rather be doing something else. But it's the That's family business.
That's interesting. So, I've never heard that before.
But I'm sure it must happen. Not everyone wants to be an actor, you know. And so maybe he's just like, it's like my father owns an auto parts supply store and I have to go into the business, but I'm not really into it.
You know? Wow, you just made me feel really bad for Arjun Kapoor all of a sudden. I'm like, poor guy. He just wants to chill out.
He just wants to eat ladoos or whatever and just chill and not work out.
Now you're just body shaming the guy. Come on. All right, so let's move on. I have a suspicion our next story is also something that you're not going to be fully aware of. But I do feel like this is essential, Alisa, in your Bollywood homework. The second sequel to the Hera Fairy movie franchise has been confirmed to be out in 2019. Hera Fairy is basically this franchise. Okay, the first Hera Fairy came out in 2000. It was essentially the first time that Akshay Kumar, Sunil Shetty, and Paresh Rawal got together and did this ridiculous comedy that was so well received. It was one of those sort of, it started the trend in Bollywood of the comedy of errors, where it's, you know, misunderstanding after misunderstanding keeps piling up, and it's just craziness after money and greed and wanting to improve your situation. This was also one of the first times that Akshay Kumar did comedy. You know Akshay Kumar now. You know that he's associated with these sort of entertainers and crowd pleasers where he plays sort of an everyman character. This was one of the first times he did that, where he kind of wasn't the action hero, where he just did the self-deprecating, super relatable, everyday character. And the movie had two sequels. In 2015, this movie was going to be Hera Fairy 3. This very same movie was supposed to be done with Sunil Shetty, John Abraham, and Abhishek Bachchan, replacing Akshay Kumar. That fell through because the original director and writer of the movies, Neeraj Vora, actually passed away recently. So that kind of killed that movie. So I guess this is a resurgence of that. And all this started with Akshay Kumar and Sunil Shetty sharing this throwback picture on social media. And they're obviously older. It's been almost 20 years now. They look older. And those two guys were really the action duo back in the day. They were the guys who were like did their own actual stunts. And this was the first time where they did something not in their niche. That was completely counter-programming. Akshay Kumar didn't, you know, flip, kick, punch anyone. Sunil Shetty didn't rip his shirt off and beat someone down. And that's what made Hera Fairy awesome. So now we're getting the third one finally with all the original cast back. Alisa, tell me your reactions on this thing you just learned about 2 seconds ago.
I don't really have a reaction to the film, but I did see the photo, and like Anil, they both have aged extremely well.
Yes.
So I wish you the listeners could see your face whenever I make a reference to one of these older dudes being attractive.
Listen, I'm not even joking. Completely unrelated news. I made someone the other day go look up Sunil Shetty's pictures, pictures. Because I'm like, this guy, I think he's like 58 or something like that. He's basically like a couple of years younger than my dad. And I'm like, this guy doesn't look like my dad. Like, this guy looks like he could bench press 3 of me. And this is in Bollywood, right? So to me, that was really impressive. Because again, you look at guys like Anil Kapoor. And again, I'm not saying they look bad. But Sunil Shetty looks like a bodybuilder still at this age. He's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Bollywood, basically, is the way I see it. He looks more badass now than he did back in the day with his mullet.
Yes,
definitely. So I do want to see them back. And you're right, even Akshay Kumar, he's aged incredibly gracefully.
Oh my God, yeah. It's very handsome. Just a point to put that out there. Sorry. Anyway.
No, it's okay. Do you need a moment? I can...
I was just thinking about what his wife said about him being like, I saw this... this dish of chocolate ice cream, I think is how she described him, and that's how they hooked up.
Nice. Very nice.
God bless her. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail. Go ahead.
sorry. Talk about the movies more.
Yes, talk about movies more.
No, I mean, listen, hey, I can get down in the sandpit and talk about how hot old guys are too, you know. I don't mind that. No, honestly speaking, these guys are like older goals, really, right? I mean,
Yes.
they also, I mean, they're also very fit. Akshay Kumar is a huge advocate of being fit and healthy and sort of fitness in India, which is nice. It's nice to see that sort of advocacy from stars who are trying to improve and do things for the better. I love Padman, so that's great. Now, Shalini Shetty hasn't done a movie in a long time, so I'm really curious about him. You might be familiar with his daughter, Shetty. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. She was in Hero. I think she's only done one movie so far.
No, I don't know her.
Yeah, I don't think you need to. I think the only my only takeaway of her is someone said something like, "Oh, she looks like her dad." That's not a good thing. So yeah, so there's that. I think that covers most of our general Bollywood news for this month. Now, something special. During my research for this show, I uncovered an article from The Hollywood Reporter, no less, which is obviously a reputable Hollywood outlet, a media outlet. And this was a treasure trove of remake news, which is what we do here at the Split Screen Podcast. Essentially, there is a group of production companies from Hollywood who are interested in essentially remaking two specific movies for the international market, which involves Bollywood. So this will be the first time you hear about these news, about these potential movies being remade into Bollywood movies. We have no details of who's cast and who's producing or who's acting, who's directing, but this is really interesting. It is a sort of very inside baseball article, so me and Lisa are going to try to sort of break this down for everyone as best as we can. The news is all about Lionsgate, which is a production company that's responsible for movies like Hunger Games, the Expendables franchise. They distributed movies like The Big Sick for Amazon in the West. They're essentially partnered up with an Indian company called Azure Entertainment, as well as an international a conglomerate of international content companies. And these three sort of groups are coming together to produce and remake movies from other industries into their potential markets. Lionsgate has already co-produced and adapted their own movie, which was Warrior, starring Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton in Hollywood, into the Akshay Kumar and Siddharth Malhotra movie Brothers, produced by Karan Johar. And the Split Screen Podcast actually covered that movie in episode 9 with Kathy Gibson. They're also Azure Entertainment is also the company that adapted the South Korean movie Man from Nowhere into the John Abraham starring Rocky Handsome, which also was covered on episode 13. And essentially, these guys are going to be adapting more movies into Bollywood. Lionsgate is going to be adapting Bruce Willis' movie Red with, coincidentally, this comes together, Anil Kapoor's Banner, with Anil Kapoor presumably playing the Bruce Willis role in Red. So they're remaking that. And Azure is developing a, drumroll, Infernal Affair remake for Bollywood, and which was obviously the Infernal Affairs movie was the original movies that Martin Scorsese adapted into The Departed, which won him the Oscar. So they're also in talks to adapt that movie into Bollywood as well. The movies that this group of companies will be adapting into international markets is the 2013 movie called Mex sorry 2013 Mexican movie called Instructions Not Included, which is considered to be the highest grossing Spanish language movie worldwide, and it focuses on a Mexican-born Hollywood stuntman's relationship with his daughter. There's already a French remake that has been made, and there are other movies to follow. So, Elisa, how do you feel about this sort of Mexican, Spanish language movie being adapted into the Bollywood market? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think it's great, and I think culturally, there is a lot of a lot. I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast. I'm Latina. I'm Puerto Rican, so it's not it's not the same as Mexican. But there's similarities and cultural similarities that I think are jive with cultural similarities in India. So I actually think it makes a huge amount of sense for there to be overlap. Movies being remade out of that market.
For sure.
And Mexico is the biggest Spanish language film industry. So it's not surprising that they're collaborating there. They do most of the soap operas, and that comes out of Mexico. So yeah, I was actually surprised that I hadn't heard of this movie before because I live in LA and apparently the movie was filmed in LA, and I'm surprised I hadn't even seen a billboard or something, but somehow that escaped me because I actually don't consume a lot of Spanish language media, but I think it's really cool. I mean, it just makes total sense.
Do you speak Spanish, or is it
Very
Portuguese,
poorly.
right?
It's Spanish.
It's kind of,
it's pretty bad.
Okay.
I mean, I can, you know, I mean, I don't know if you can relate because you're fully bilingual, but like I grew up, my grandmother spoke Spanish, so I can understand it sort of, and I can, you know, get to the bathroom and order at a restaurant kind of Spanish, but you know, like the
No,
woman who spoke,
so
you know, so I
I'm actually not. I think we're very similar in that respect because I'm not. So I'm bilingual in I'm Bengali, which is again subgenre of South Asian. But so I'm bilingual. But when it comes to Hindi, for example, I'm not. I understand it because I've watched the movies growing up, but I don't have practice speaking it. So
Right.
I mean, I think the most embarrassing moment for me was when I went back to India to meet my wife's family, and I used the wrong, I used the masculine pronoun while when talking about Katrina Kaif,
Oh
and
boy.
people died. There was like laughter for 20 minutes, and it was and again because I was trying to make an impression, you know, it was like. You know, a week of me speaking Hindi, which I've never done in my life. Like 24 hours a day just speaking Hindi. And so I screwed up that pronoun and really I got killed. And then that became a running joke.
I am so sorry. I totally feel your pain. That's why I don't even attempt it, which is the wrong thing to do. I should practice. I'm in LA, which is one of the biggest Spanish-speaking cities in the world, but I'm too embarrassed. But anyway,
So bottom line, when this Bollywood version comes out, we will both watch Instructions Not Included. And you will give us
yes.
the insight into the Latino community and how that got adapted into the Desi community,
You know,
right?
actually, that's a really great idea. So book me for that one because I
Yeah.
would do that. And yeah, that would be really cool. Oh,
Now.
and by the way, speaking of on the Twitter Bali community, there are people following me that are Latin American based
Oh, wow.
people who are into Bollywood and
Oh,
speak only
sweet.
Spanish. Yeah, so that's kind of
Oh,
cool.
wait, so they don't speak English, they only speak Spanish, but they're into
They
the.
all, and yes, and they're into
Wow.
Bollywood and they follow me on Twitter.
That's so
And so that's
cool.
pretty cool.
So there's
Yeah.
definitely a market, apparently, it seems,
For
for this
sure.
sort of adaptation. Now, there's also obviously this group of companies, the news coming out from this article is that this group of companies is also remaking a South Korean movie, which just sounds like more of a sort of a thriller. The movie's called Terror Live, which is also produced in 2013, and it's all about a news anchorman's struggle to contend on live television with the increasingly bloody acts of a mysterious caller. That movie will also be adapted into a Bollywood movie by these companies. That to me sounds sort of the more unique one out of these two movies. The first movie about the Mexican-born Hollywood stuntman's relationship with his daughter sounds very much like Chef, which was a Jon Favreau remake with Saif
Yeah,
Ali
that's
Khan
right.
about a father in a specific niche industry having to reconnect with his son. Whereas this thing about a news anchor, I guess there's a caller on live on the TV show. He's trying to kill people. I mean, definitely. I mean, we gotta watch these movies. But how do you think this type of movie would do? Because there are a lot of South Korean movies that have been remade into Bollywood, as I mentioned, Rocky Handsome and even the Aishwarya Rai Jazba, which was a Korean remake as well. There's definitely a market there. Do you
Oh
find that
yeah.
that's a huge thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my guess is that it's probably an extension of what's happening with Amir Khan in
China.
China. And he's turning out to be a giant star over there. And so I think that there's a recognition that, you know, Asian markets and Asian films are potentially, you know, that there could be a cross-pollination between those industries.
Yeah.
And South Korea is doing some really interesting. I don't follow that industry, but I know that there's a lot of excitement about what's coming out of South Korea, you know, right now with films. And they are getting a lot more play internationally. It's just not something, because a lot of it is crime stuff and really super violent, so I'm not into that stuff. But I know that's a thing. So yeah, I mean, totally. So I think what I'm struck by with all this news, though, when you that because that article was really convoluted with all the different relationships, but I think the news is that, you know, the international boundaries between industries have really loosened, and that, you know, it's all a mishmash at this point,
I
and
think
not dominated by Hollywood
I think we're
either. I think.
realizing the value of sort of the universal messages of certain stories. That's kind of my takeaway because again, you look at some of these stories that, like, again, you look at how well Amir Khan movies are doing in China, and you kind of don't think about it at first blush, right? You kind of look at, oh, Three Idiots is doing well. Why? Well, it's only about, you know, kids that have intense parental pressure to do well in education that are buckling under that pressure. And then you think of China and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right,
and then you look
right.
at movies like Dungle, which is all about, you know, female independence and the physical and mental strength of a woman being able to overcome boundaries, not just out from the world, but even within the home from, you know, their father figure. And you go, oh, why is that doing so well in China? And you think about China's history and their landscape, and you go, oh, that's right, that makes sense. So I think we're slowly discovering that there is a very universal message to these stories, regardless of what country or what language that they're produced in. And I think that's kind of becoming the goal, right? That's, let's translate some of these stories to make it palatable and relatable to audiences in different markets. Obviously, also makes good business sense.
Oh, yeah. And on a technological level, it's cheaper now than ever before to do this kind of thing, because right. filmmaking has gotten much cheaper.
Definitely. So,
and then being able to do and send film around the world on the internet.
Oh, of course. I mean, streaming, which is what my, so much stuff.
As an aside, that's what my husband does for a living. He's a programmer for Technicolor, and he built a system to transmit film dailies around the world for editing into film. Yes.
Oh.
I know. So we sort of have a connection to the business, except on the tech side of things.
So you realize at the end of this episode, you basically have to put out your contact information for people, right? Because you've got the PR thing going. He's got the film editing dailies delivery route system going. Like, just get a job in the industry and you guys.
We're
going
to move to Mumbai and start a company and it'll all be good.
Why not? All right, so I think that covers the news aspect of this episode. That's all the news that's fit to print at this point. Bottom line about the remake stuff is there's basically a bunch of remakes coming out that's going to fuel this show for the next couple of years. Moving on to essentially the fun stuff, we're going to be talking about the trailers for movies coming up in June 2018 of Bollywood movies. Now, as I keep mentioning during every single one of these shows, the release dates of these movies are so flexible and they're so malleable and they're so last minute that they just decide to screw with us and change the release date. One of those movies is Bhavesh Joshi's Superhero, which we talked about last episode with Melanie, Movie Maven Gal, from the Paradesi YouTube channel. That was supposed to come out May 25th. Which I was supposed to go watch tomorrow. But however, last minute they got switched and it's coming out now June 1st. So check out episode 41 of the Spitzbeam podcast with Movie Maven Gal, where we cover the trailers for Bhavesh Joshi's Superhero, Sanju, which is coming out June 28th, as well as Vidya the Wedding, which is coming out June 1st. So moving on to the first trailer, and again, this was another trailer that dropped with less than a month of the movie's release. This movie has come out on May the 25th. It's called Bioscope Walla. It stars Danny Denzongpa, Geetanjali Thapar, Adil Hussain, and Tiska Chopra. The movie is written and directed by Dave Medhekar. And it's essentially an adaptation of the Rabindranath Tagore story, Kabuliwala. Alisa, I have sort of a weird personal connection with this movie. So I will let you take the lead. What did you think about this trailer? It was mostly in English. It seems like it's a partially English language movie as well. What did you think about this trailer?
It was great. I'm now very intrigued to know what your connection was. I guess I'll find out shortly. I mean, it's interesting because I watched it and I didn't 100% get what was going on. So I did some Googling and discovered that this is actually, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, would be a well-known story for people in India. Like, this is a familiar story.
I don't know how it's... I mean, the author, I would compare him to almost like Shakespeare, let's say. I mean, literally people might be ripping me apart when hearing this, but from an everyman perspective, like, Rabindranath Tagore is one of, like, sort of the historical figures in our culture. He is Bengali, but again, he's from a time before we had India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, so he is considered essentially, you know, let's say brown. But he's one of those literary guys who contributed. He wrote plays, he wrote poems, he wrote stories, he wrote music. So he's kind of like this all-around Renaissance man from in those days, and he had a lot of stories, which has provided a lot of sort of fodder for remakes and adaptations. So I compare him to, like, the Shakespeare, whereas he contributed a lot to the medium and the art and you know, the industry of storytelling in general, regardless of the medium. But, yeah, I don't know how well-known his stuff would be. in, you know, common people, but yeah.
Well, there was also two movies already made on this. I mean,
Yeah.
they're old, so I don't know how well known they are. But anyway, see, I did it. It was
You did
amazing what a
your
quick Google will do for you. Anyway,
homework.
but I mean, from a filmmaking perspective, it looks beautiful and it really grabbed my attention. And I really enjoyed the scenes with where the little girl is developing the friendship with the Afghani man, and then the segue into the Afghani scenes that are more
Yeah.
violent, I thought was well done. I mean, it looks beautiful. And I also investigated the director, and it turns out it's his first feature.
Yes.
And he was an advertising director, so that's very interesting to me too.
And that's why it looks so beautiful, right? This is like the actual camera
Yeah.
work and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, I okay. I'm gonna rewind a little bit. So for me, like I mentioned, Rabindranath Tagore is kind of like the Shakespeare, simply because for us, Rabindranath Tagore was, again, I'm Bengali, so he was essentially a Bengali person, and but again, he predated the whole partition thing. Obviously, a lot of his life, a lot of his work was post the independence, so he was, you know, in India. I believe. I should probably should have looked into this before I make this claim, but I believe he wrote the Indian national anthem, which is a massive thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's I mean, he was the first non-European to win the Nobel Prize in literature. He's massive. Like, he's in our culture, he's like, when it comes to the arts or creativity, he is massive. He wrote, and actually not even not just India's national anthem, he wrote my country's national anthem, he wrote Bangladesh's national anthem, as well as the Sri Lankan national anthem was inspired sort of by his work. I'm on Wikipedia at this point, you can tell. But I grew up hearing about this guy. I grew up hearing about him. We studied his stories in school. Bangla was my worst subject, to the point where my Bangla teacher and my parents were on a first name basis because they had to always meet to discuss my failing in the language. But again, during those classes, I learned about this guy and his contribution to creativity and storytelling in general. So Kabuliwala, the short story that he wrote, I don't read much. If people follow the show, you'll know I have sort of a weird aversion to reading. Not because I don't want to read. I love the idea of being a reader. I have a lot of books that I haven't read that, as a hoarder, I've just bought and collected from like flea markets and used bookstores. But for whatever reason, I don't read as much as I want to. The Kabuliwala was the one short story that I read, that just through its words, I got super emotional. It was the first and only ever story that made me literally tear up. Like, again, if you listen to the show, you hear me crying at every single movie commercial and short film that I see on television. But the Kabuliwala was the first ever thing, and actually since then, the only ever thing that I've read where the words moved me to the point where by the end of it, I was, you know, literally in tears. So when I'm watching this trailer, all of that is coming back to me. I mean, it is an adaptation because the story doesn't seem to follow the original story at all. It does seem to be, you know, sort of an adaptation of that story into this modern day original story. But all those feelings of the characters and the emotions are coming back to me. I've seen this trailer, I think, 4 times now, and the first 3 times, I swear, I welled up. I got really emotional. I started like cracking up, and I'm like, oh! But
That's very sweet.
don't let's move on.
No, I love that though.
But
That's wonderful.
the cool thing also about this trailer is that so Danny, this actor, I don't know if you've seen Danny in anything else. He was the bad guy in Bang Bang, which is the only sort of commercial thing that I could think of. Have you seen this, the bioscope bot, the old guy basically. Have you seen him in anything else?
I haven't, no.
Okay, so what he was is basically he was one of those sort of D-list villains in Hindi movies from like I want to say the 70s or the 80s. He's never done anything beyond that. Like, that was kind of his claim to fame. He was always a villain. And again,
Okay.
going as far back as the 2014 movie Bang Bang with Hrithik and Katrina Kaif, he played the typical villain, which was his claim to fame. So, I mean, he's done other roles as well where he's played supporting characters as the father or the good guy or the Good Samaritan. But I love the fact that this is essentially his movie where he is basically the male lead. opposite Gitanjali Thapa, and the story seems so amazing and so original. I don't think I can talk about this movie without getting emotional, just because again it just reminds me, like, the trailer captured all those emotions from the original story, even though the sequences and the scenes and the story might be completely different. I'm so down for this.
I just hope it we can see it, because sometimes with these smaller movies, they don't release locally, and we'll have to wait, you know, for it to be online eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. I don't want to resort to watching this movie illegally, so I do hope it comes out somewhere on streaming. So Netflix does have this short web series anthology. If you look at, I think it's called The Stories of Rabindranath Tagore. You can actually go on and look for it. Don't remember where it was, but one of the shorts actually has Radhika Apte, who's this, you know, amazing actress who's done, you know, all these thriller movies. She was in Padman, that actress. So there is adaptations of his work. Like, he is heavily inspired so many filmmakers and storytellers of not just Bollywood, but just, you know, our continent, really. So it's cool to see this be another sort of adaptation to that. All right, yeah. I gotta move on, because you're looking at me so like,
no, it's very sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it has
his face as he talks about this. Right, it's very,
let's
nice.
Let's move on.
Okay.
All right, so going from Basketballer, we're going to talk about a movie where I think I'm on the same level as you when it comes to the cult status of this actor. we're talking about Kala, which is releasing June 7th. I've done intentionally no research on this whatsoever, because I don't think I can keep up with the legendary status of the actor of this movie. Obviously, I'm talking about superstar Rajinikanth. And this is his next movie. It's opening June 7th. And I mean, I don't know anything about the movie. I don't know anything about the story. I've seen the trailer and I want to watch this movie.
Oh, really? See, that was not my reaction. I
felt like we were on the same train until that thing, and you're like,
I just hopped off the train. No, I mean, well, and I, as I said to you before the podcast, the only reason I know he exists is because he became a meme online, because there was somebody on Twitter put up screenshots of the subtitles on one of his movies, and it's stuff like tickled pink laughter and, you know, chuckles ruefully and, you know, whatever. So
there's also one that was like, what? That, like, chuckles, like bashful chuckle or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Skeptical chuckle, I'm looking at it now, you know. Bashful chuckle.
Yeah, it's basically the subtitles of describing the types of laughter in that movie. Right.
So I literally...
Kabali, I think, was the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he, but obviously he's a mega, mega star, because it made the TV news in India, which I found very amusing. Because, you know, why not? And so I feel like it's all about him. So either you're like a huge mega fan of his and you have to see it. And if you're somebody like me coming in cold, I don't think so.
Fair enough. I'm more familiar with the status of Rajinikanth than Rajinikanth himself. I've seen very few Rajinikanth movies. Most of them probably when he's crossed over into Bollywood and done some Bollywood stuff. Do you find that he's very similar to Salman?
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole vibe of it. Except he's considerably smaller than Salman, but yes.
Right.
Yeah, but the other thing, I mean, just on a purely practical level, the movie is dubbed into Hindi, correct?
Yeah, it was a lot shot of other languages, Tamil, actually. Yeah.
And then I looked at the English subtitles and it read like they had run it through Google Translate. They were really bad. So that was just like another level of, I don't know if I can climb the wall over that to see this. But it was the black is the color of the masses who arise up against the clean. Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Have you ever seen Rajinikanth though, like off screen, like not in a movie?
No.
Okay.
I have.
So here's the thing. I feel like, because this is what amazes the crap out of me. And I feel like if you look into this, I feel like you might be on the same boat. If you look at him off screen, first of all, he's wearing a wig. He's bald in real life. But I don't know if it's the wig, but when you look at him off screen at an interview or sort of an event, he looks so decrepit. And I'm not saying this as an insult, because stay with me here. Don't at me, Rajnikanth fans. he looks like a grandpa. You know, he's sitting there. He looks sweet, which again, asks the grandpa vibes. He looks very humble. He looks very quiet. He's just kind of chilling. You know, people around him are going nuts. Everyone's like, I love you. And he's just kind of like, that's nice. Thank you. And he seems like a very nice, genuinely humble person. And then like a sweet grandpa, you know, like put a cardigan on this guy, please.
Right.
But then I see this movie and I see the trailer for these movies and I'm like, holy shit. Like, there is in no way that, like, he looks 20 years younger. I'm not even kidding you. Like, you got to see some of his off-screen stuff where he's just sitting there, bald, you know, like Homer Simpson hair, white beard, and he just looks like he's so medicated, you know. But you see him in this movie and you're like, yeah, this guy's like 40, right? 40? That's how old he must be, because he looks fit. He looks, like, again, even facially. Like, my thing is always, like, even when you look at Sylvester Stallone, who's got, like, you know, a steroid-ridden body, you look at his face and you're like, yeah, this guy's so old. Whereas you look at Rajnikanth and you're like, he seems pretty, like, middle-aged. He's beating people up. He's in the rain. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, the grandpa became, like, the grandpa is, like, his son now. Like it was, like, like, he loses a generation from his on-screen depictions to his off-screen persona, which to me is probably the most ridiculous thing. Because he's old, yeah. Too. Even genuinely, I think he's, like, 70 years old or something.
Well, because you were talking about this, I went and looked at some pictures of him, and yeah, boy, you're right. Not kidding.
Right?
It's like, yeah, like, they even have one that's side by side of him in a movie, right. And then not in a movie, and it's hysterical. Yes, so.
And it's not even like, you can't even say that's prosthetics or makeup. Like, he looks like himself, but for some reason, putting on a wig makes him look badass.
But, you know, it's going to come around. It's not just that, I mean, yes, it's the wig, but also, I don't know how they did this in the film, but they made him look, like, his movements look fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's stomping around and, yeah. Like, I'm going to kill all of you, and he's got a mob, and, you know, he looks, and this is going to come up again when we talk about another movie and another movie star that I'm going to be not referred to by name yet. But he doesn't.
I see where you're going. You're yeah.
I'm going with this.
I see where you're going. Yeah.
Move his body, so that helps. You know.
But yeah. I mean, here's a segue. Wait for it. Don't you see Rajnikanth being like? Don't you see Salman Khan being Rajnikanth in like 20 years? Because that's essentially where the comparison I always make.
20 years.
Okay. Like next year.
Well, look. Since we're talking about it, we should move on.
Yeah. Let's just do it. So race three. We're moving on to race three. Yes. The trailer for race three came out, I believe, like a week or two ago. This is the third in the race franchise. Coincidentally, Lisa, you were here when we first got the first look posters. Mm-hmm. So it's only fitting that you're back to discuss the actual trailer of race three. The movie releases on June the 15th. It's directed by Raymond de Souza, who is a former choreographer in Bollywood, turned director. The movie stars, all right, let's see, Salman Khan, Bobby Deol, Anil Kapoor, who we've talked about a lot this episode for some reason.
Yeah.
Daisy Shah, no relation, God, no relation. And Jacqueline Fernandez. So this is obviously the continuation of the race franchise. So, hey, Elisa, did you know I got so much shit from Twitter because I told you not to watch the race franchise? I saw
some of that.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey...
And for people I wouldn't have expected, like Matt Bowes, you know, I think yeah, maybe crap it's for
all,
it. Yeah.
It was all in good fun. But I mean, ultimately, it was. I didn't realize how beloved the race movies were, apparently. But yeah, so I do want to, I mean, seeing the trailer for this, though, finally, I remember when I saw the trailer for this, I went full Elisa mode, I think. I think I went full social media director mode. And I started like tweeting out memes and like GIFs from the movie and just making side jokes. Every frame of this trailer is meme worthy.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I literally, my initial reaction to this was, oh my God, this looks so dumb, but of course I need to see it.
Okay. And
that's what I literally wrote down.
For the next 5 seconds, let me get super serious. This is the problem with Salman Khan movies. Us. when we're fully aware of
we
how problematic these movies are, yet we intentionally suspend that and pay good money to add to his status. Okay,
oh
I'm done.
God.
Let's keep making fun of race 3 now. is there anything you like from this movie trailer?
Well, like, how do you define like? You know, like, it's sort of like the part of me that is educated and sophisticated, and, you know, and has critical thinking skills is like, holy shit, look at this movie. Like, just as one little absurd throwaway thing was the flight suit. I could not stop laughing over the flight suit because he waddles to the edge of the building and flings his body over the side like a walrus. I just couldn't deal with it. It was, and it's just, oh, and when, what's her name? Daisy slits her, cuts her skirt open with knife so she can start kicking ass. That amused me. But I mean, it's just so goddamn dumb. And at the same time, though, you can't deny that it's entertaining. I mean, I was really entertained by this, but it's. But going back to Salman, you know, I have so many mixed emotions about Salman because
I think that's everybody.
Everybody, right? He's as a, and I'm new to this, right? So
right,
I don't have
right.
a history with him, but he is in many ways such an endearing performer. I think that's the word for it. I mean, even when he's being the badass action hero, he has this ability to communicate a vulnerability on screen that is very it really pulls you in. Like and then speaking of Sylvester Stallone, I actually think that's a good analogy for him.
Oh my god,
you know how Sylvester Stallone was Rocky and he was kind of like vulnerable and hurt, Salman has the same quality. He even has the soulful eyes like Sylvester Stallone, right?
Alisa, I think you nailed why. I don't want this whole show to be about like, remember when I said this, but like I often say that like Salman is one of those actors who when he cries on screen makes me bawl.
Yes.
Just because there's something about him that I connect with. I mean, again, forgoing all the issues and the scandals and the problematic behavior and all that other stuff as well, which again I feel strongly about as well. But there's something about Salman from a young age, whenever he would cry on screen, like even without context, I would be like, oh, he's crying. It's so sad. And you're absolutely right. I have the same reaction. Like the first Rocky movie, actually the second Rocky movie, where he's not able to pursue his, you know, vocation of fighting and he feels like less of a man, I always get emotional about, you know, this Hulk, this beefcake of a guy just feeling so broken down. It's something that I've always, I don't want to say relate to because I'm not a beefcake of a man, but it's always something that I've responded to. Like, it's always something like, you know, this is so sort of subversive of what you would expect from these guys to get so emotional and to be so vulnerable. I think in 35 years of my life, I think you fully just nailed down why is it that I respond to Salman in that way. So,
I feel so good about that.
An awakening episode here.
And you know, and that's why Salman is so much more appealing. Like I'll watch an action movie with Salman in it when I won't watch with other guys because the other action heroes play it so straight ahead and like invulnerable, and they don't have that quality, so it's not as appealing to get into it. And anyway, this is getting really deep for Race 3. However.
I love that the two sides that you initially mentioned, your educated side. I love how we just saw that side come back and be like, hey, shut up. It's Race 3.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yes, exactly. but, you know, but it's interesting, though, because it's like the Doom series.
Yes.
And I love Doom 3. Even though it's the stupidest fucking movie, but it's because Amr actually brought something extra to it, right? I mean, it was the dual role, and
changes entirely in the second act. Sorry, not the second half. Like after the intermission, that becomes a totally different movie.
Right. It does. It's kind of crazy. But I mean, it was the soulfulness of the character that kind of made the movie better. And I kind of get the feeling that with a lot of Salman stuff, it's the same thing. But anyway, Race 3. So one thing about that bothered me, though, is Salman looks like he's having trouble moving his body. Like there's parts of it where I was wincing because he looks like he's in pain. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it sounds like I'm shading him, but I'm really not. I feel bad for him because he's stuck in this persona that the Salman fanboys won't let him out of. He's tried to do other movies and not succeeded, right? Other genres. And so he's locked into this part and he's getting too old for it. I mean, he's just like,
Yeah.
you know, and there's going to come a point where he's going to like seriously hurt himself, or I don't know what's going to happen to him. They're going to CGI him from the neck down. I
So okay, so I gotta say I'm I okay, so first of all, I can see how you are in the kind of work that you do, because so far in this episode, you have so accurately touched upon so many sort of emotional cornerstone moments of you've humanized Arjun Kapoor to me, which I thought was impossible. You articulated some of my connections to superstars from years ago that I have never been able to understand, and now you're humanizing Salman Khan to me with you know he's gonna get hurt, guys. Like, we should be careful. Stop doing that. Like, I don't need that. I had the opposite reaction because to me, Salman Khan in this movie was, I mean, maybe I'm just desensitized to it. Maybe I'm not noticing the rigid movements. The one thing I did notice, though, in the last sort of few seconds of the trailer, instead of taking his shirt off, he rolls up his sleeves, you know, a la Grease, to expose his arms. And to me, that was kind of like, good on you. Highlight the best parts of yourself. Because he's getting pudgy in the upper torso area. So I think his days of taking the shirt off are over, but I think he's gonna bring back the muscle shirt, guys.
No,
I
but
think
he
he
took
will.
his shirt off because
Yeah,
he's
he did,
there's
yeah.
a shot of him. No, but it
With
made me laugh because this is what I literally wrote
with
down.
Bobby.
They ate no carbs the week before it was shot. Because it's him and Bobby looking crazy ripped. Like, you guys are in your 50s. I know you
Well,
suffered.
the funny thing is too, it's like Pinky and the Brain in that shot. Because you've got because you've got the one guy who looks like he's holding his, like, again, screenshot that image. I'm not kidding. Salman looks like he's holding his breath in, like he's afraid to exhale. And Bobby looks like he's waiting for someone to call cut, because he's like, is this good? Like, am I skinny enough? Like, should I dehydrate more, guys? Like, is this, can you see the rib? Like, it was like two extremes of like the ends, where you've got the big guy who's trying to stay muscular, and you've got the skinny guy who's trying to get muscular, and it was just a weird contrast to me. And I'm especially when you have a guy in this cast who looks legitimately awesome, Saqib Saleem. And my biggest hope for Race 3 is that this gives Saqib Saleem the commercial foothold into Bollywood that he doesn't need, but I feel like the audience or the filmmakers need to see this kid, who is an awesome actor, in this sort of commercial avatar, so that they can go, oh yeah, let's get him to headline our next action romance blockbuster movie.
Yeah, but that's only if, I mean, and we'll have to see how. I'm just thinking it's a little crowded
Yeah,
with
fair enough.
screen, you know what I mean? Like he
Fair
might not
enough.
get it, but anyway. Let's talk about the
I
women
do like,
because
yeah.
the women are awful. I mean, but of course they are. It's an action movie. The
So,
only and I don't like I'm just gonna give a quick shout out to Katrina Kaif because I don't really think she's a good actor. However, in action roles, she
yes.
really holds her own and she brings a respect to those roles that you don't see other people bring to it. So I'll give her that
Which is
shout,
surprising
you
as
know.
hell, right? Because you don't expect that from someone. I mean, I've spoken at length about sort of my, I was gonna say relationship, but that sounds wildly inaccurate. My, I guess, response to Katrina Kaif as an actress. I was really at first not a fan, but it's taken a lot of people's influence, a lot of sort of different alternative perspectives to make me realize that, you know what, this is what she wants to do. This is like, she's okay. Like, the things that I have complaints about her in movies, that the fact that she doesn't do anything substantial, I've realized that she wants to do that. And if that is by choice and not by, you know, compulsion, hey, all the power to her. You know, she doesn't need to be Priyanka Chopra. She doesn't need to be Deepika Padukone. You know, she can do her own thing, and she's been relevant in the industry for the last 18 years now. You know, part of, you know, successful commercial and critical movies. So hey, kudos to her. Jacqueline Fernandez, there is a shot in this trailer where she does a dance move that literally wipes out the entire floor of background dancers. And it is like something out of Street Fighter. And
yes.
I want to see that happen again and again and again.
Okay. I mean, I didn't...
You're like, sure.
I mean, she just comes across as just a whole lot of nothing and silicone. I don't know.
I feel like we're at this point just trying hard to rip down Race 3. Even fully knowing we're all going to watch this.
I'm totally going to go see it. Look, because you know what's funny? I got into trouble on Twitter. I'm trying to remember who I was ragging on. I was ragging on somebody. And I rag because I'm like, it's a movie. It's not heart surgery. We can laugh at things. It's like, whatever. These people get paid a lot of money and they don't give
a
shit.
You know, Salman can do heart surgery, Twitter. Though, right? Like,
yeah.
He can do that.
With his teeth. Anyway, so, and people piled on me with this crazy intensity and it scared me. And I thought, so I'm less likely to make fun of movies on Twitter now because people are really invested.
I've taken the opposite approach, actually. I've usually been very sort of tempered in my Twitter conversations about certain movies or certain stars. I've recently adopted the approach of just going buck wild with no sort of forethought into my critiques, and I've actually gotten better engagement from that. So
of course,
yeah.
But it's just like when people are like, "You had I remember it was Hrithik of all people, Jesus Christ." I made the seemingly uncontroversial statement that Hrithik was a much better dancer than he is an actor. I mean, you know,
which seems pretty on par.
You know, he's not an amazing actor. That's not his gig.
How dare you?
You know,
compliment his dancing, Lisa?
Yes. It was anyway. But if anybody comes at me for making fun of Race 3, I don't even know what to say because that movie—it's almost like I think the filmmakers are aware of how silly this is, right? I mean, they have to be,
right?
Like they're intentionally making it goofy.
They're flying through the air. I mean,
flight suit.
I do have to say, though, this is my thing. This is my takeaway from Race 3, okay?
Yeah.
There's so much talk of family in this movie that I'm pretty sure someone binge watched all of the Fast and Furious franchise. Because Salman Khan in this movie is basically Dominic Toretto. Because he talks about family so goddamn much that I'm like, oh my god, he's auditioning for Fast and Furious 10. Like, this has to be a thing. To the point where I went full conspiracy theory, I'm like, wait a minute. Vin knows Deepika, who's in Bollywood, and they know Salman, so clearly there's an in. He could totally do it. Guys, Fast and Furious 10, Salman Khan, and Vin Diesel.
Oh my god. That would actually be amazing. Salman, don't fall apart.
I'm telling you.
Make it happen.
There's so much, like, there's this...
But on the other hand, doesn't that Salman shtick, though? I mean, I feel like he brings up family a lot in all his movies. Am I wrong about that? It seems like a recurring thing with him.
You're absolutely not wrong. Because, again, his movies like the, you know, sort of family-orientated dramas are, you know, literally about family. But I'm just saying this is the sort of one sort of action thriller adventure movie where it seems like, you know, it's a group of, you know, questionable criminals but who all value family above anything else. Yeah. What does that sound like? Fast and Furious. So, come on. The Rock, Salman Khan, Vin Diesel. We got to make this happen.
No, I'm seriously, yes.
We are so deluded. It's so late.
We'll have to put it out to the atmosphere and maybe somebody will pick up on it.
Right, exactly. Anyway. You're a PR person. Just spin that story.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's what we do. Plant the story that it's happening. We leave it up to the gods after that. All right, so that's basically it for this episode of the Spiskin Podcast. Alisa Rivera, thank you so much for taking the time, the very short notice I gave you to be on this episode and going full, you know, nerd rage with me about all these movies and everything else, throwing hardcore shade on Salman and everybody else. I want to let people know where they can get in touch with you, where they can at you for all the controversial comments you've made today.
Yes, you can at me at Bollywood Newbie. At Bollywood and then Newbie.
And that's on Twitter, right?
Correct, on Twitter.
Perfect. So, and I've also booked you, you know, potentially for some future shows as well in terms of the remake episodes. For everyone else listening, thank you so much for listening to our rambling nonsense and rants. Definitely check out the movies we talked about, especially Bioscope Walla, because again, smaller movies need that sort of attention. Definitely get in touch with us. I know Elisa is very interested in getting recommendations and everything else. Maybe try to convert her into like the Rajnikanth. You know, trend. But again, thank you everyone for listening. To get more episodes of the Spiskin Podcast, please subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify as well now, or any other preferred podcasting app. If you are more of a web browser listener, feel free to visit my webpage at blankpagebeatdown.com to listen directly on your browser. You can even go to Audioboom and search for the show there. Now, if you like what you heard today, please leave me a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show and really makes me feel better about my insecurities in life through the show itself. Follow the podcast on Twitter at @Spiskin_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at @TheShahShahid. And that's also the best place to get in touch with me with any feedback or remakes you want to compare, or even if you want to show up on the show and talk about, you know, news, reviews, movies, whatever. Thank you once again, everyone, for listening. This has been the Spiskin Podcast. My name is Shah Shahid, and until next time, take care.